Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Nuggets News. Today we've got a very special guest, that is the legendary Max Egan. If you've followed his work, you'll know how prophetic his videos have been from 17 years ago. He's been calling everything that is now playing out, how the powers that be have been mind controlling everyone, how they're going to usher us into this digital AI control system. And Max, it must be an amazing time to be alive. We're going to get into all the juiciest stuff, which has now become very real for a lot of people with the Epstein files and that. But what was your journey like? How did you go down the rabbit hole, and how are you so far ahead of your time?
Well, I was really fortunate in that I woke up really, really young. I never had that process where, you know, people have that bell go off when they're like 30 or 40 years old and they suddenly realize they've been living a lie. And it's really difficult for people to face the transition. I was fortunate in as much as I was like 4 years old, and my mother had taken me up to the forest for the first time, to the national park, and I loved it. I thought, this is incredible. And as we were leaving that day, I said to my mother, "Hey, Mum, let's come and live here." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, it's so much better than down in town." And I said, and she said, "Well, we can't live here." And I said, "Why not? Nobody else lives here." She said, "We don't own the land." And I was like, "Own the land? Who owns the land?" And she said, "The government owns the land." And I said, "How did they get it?" And she said, "You'll understand when you get older." And I went home and I'm thinking about this stuff. And I'm thinking about the conversations we had, because television had just kind of come into being. And I'm seeing starving Ethiopians on the TV and I'm thinking, why are they starving? Because it's the end of the day. The supermarkets are closed now and all the supermarkets are still full of food. Nobody ate all that food today. Why didn't that food go over to feed these people over here who don't have any? I didn't understand you had to buy the food. I didn't understand you had to buy the land, you know. And I'm walking around with my teddy bear that afternoon thinking about what Mum had said about how we don't own the land and you actually had to pay for all this stuff. And I'm talking to my teddy bear and I said, "Teddy, it's all fucked up. These people think they can own the land. Can you ask God to please take me off this world and put me onto the other world where people don't think they can own the land?" And that's how I kind of started looking at society. Then I started listening to the conversations my mother was having with people, and they're talking about nothing. They're just talking about gossiping about other people and stuff. And I'm thinking, everybody's mad. Like, I'm living in an insane asylum. And I just started watching life and watching school, and they weren't teaching me anything at school, and it was crazy. So by the time I went through, I mean, I had a terrible childhood. I didn't really function very well in school. When I actually entered high school, I ended up getting kicked out of four high schools in 3 years because I was arguing with my teachers the whole time, and I was warning people what was going to happen when I was in high school. I'm going, all these laws, all the things the government's doing, they're not doing anything to help us. Every time they pass a new law, they create a new crime. And if it keeps going, we're going to be living in George Orwell's 1984 by 1984, you know, about on the right timeline. This is when I'm in the 70s at school, you know. And I'm saying we're heading for this incredible control system where no one's going to have any freedom. And I'm warning all my peers about this at school, in high school, when I was like 17. And then I ended up with my own desk outside the principal's office in my last term of high school, and just left halfway through my year three exams in high school, just left and joined a rock band and started playing guitar and lived on the outside of society and just watched the freak show, because I just thought, you're all mad. I'm just going to find a way through and be artistic in my life, because I'm an artistic person. I'll just observe what's going on. And I continued on that path. And music was my bubble for a long time. I was kind of in that world. You know, I was the guy with the big album collection and the guy with the guitars and the guy with this and that. And I was very sought after sound engineer. And then 9/11 happened and I thought, oh, hang on a minute. All of this stuff that I've been researching, which was kind of a hobby for me, I didn't expect it to really happen in my lifetime. But when 9/11 happened, I thought, okay, this is the big event that they're going to use to usher in this new world order system. And I've got all this information that I probably should be sharing it. In fact, if I don't share it, then I'm part of the problem. So at that time when 9/11 happened, by 2004, 2005, I kind of left the music industry behind. and music had become my hobby, and research and what I do now had become what I do. It used to be the other way around. So that's kind of how it happened for me. And all I've really done is try to encourage people to notice their surroundings, notice what's going on, and to ask questions, you know. Even when I've got information to share to people, I generally present it as a question for the audience so that they'll ask that question themselves. Because I firmly believe real truth cannot be told to people. Real truth needs to be realized. You try to tell someone the truth, you're challenging their belief system, you're challenging the last 40 years of their life and what they think is real. You've got to provide doorways for them to go through those doorways so they can have that epiphany themselves. And then they'll go, oh my God, and they'll see it. So I've tried to encourage that. I think that's the best way to educate people rather than telling them what is and what isn't, because they won't believe you. They'll put up barriers. So just encourage people. Try to lead by example. You know, a lot of the information that we share with people in doing this work is very negative information. You're telling people, look, there's a big depopulation going on. White people are being replaced. The world's being genocided. Genocide in Palestine. All your food's poison. They're spraying poisons in the sky. There's so much to tell people. And it's so negative. So in order to bring this information to them, you've got to be the most positive person you can. By realizing that, I mean, ultimately you came here to grow your own soul, to find your own path, to be the best you can at being yourself, which isn't even being the best version of yourself. There's only one version of you. Yeah. You've just got to be the best at being you and find out what that is and excel at that and be a pleasure to be around. Treat everybody as yourself. In Lakesh, I'm another yourself. And you live that way and people want to be around you. You're attracted. They're attracted to you and you're a really positive energy. And they want to know why you're so positive. And, well, it's because I understand how reality works. So I can see all this negative stuff. And it's not really negative stuff. It's simply choices that we make. You know, the evil has to exist so that you have a choice there, whether to choose that side or whether to choose good, because ultimately you're here to grow your own path.
Yeah.
And people have forgotten that. They've stepped off that, which is why the evil is growing and growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to really step back when you look at all this stuff. I mean, awakening is a very, very destructive, very uncomfortable process for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if you want to wake them up, they've got to be able to see something positive from that happening.
Yes.
Because it gets to people, they go, oh, shit, I wish I'd stayed asleep because now I can see it and I can't unsee it and I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Well, don't be terrified because you came here to die. It's going to happen anyway. That's a given. It's really how you go to that path. Whether you're willing to step outside your moral compass and comply with regulations that you know are wrong every step of the way in order to stay a little bit longer in the prison, when you're going to die one day anyway. Well, no, I'm not prepared to do that. I'm going to be myself to the fullest of my potential. I'm going to do my best to leave the world better than how I found it. I'm going to work to try to help people around me and inspire them to be the best of themselves. That's what I'm here for. And ultimately, I'm going to die anyway. I don't want your chip. I don't want to have my soul and consciousness go into the mainframe and stay immortal forever in your digital world because I'm not scared of death.
Yeah.
Death is most probably the most important part of life.
Yeah.
So, you know. Well, that's the way I look at it anyway, so yeah.
And I want to get to some of that healing of humanity because, as you say, waking up, I think we're going to be kind of dealing with a bit of a, you know, a mass trauma. As you say, it's not an easy thing to realize that everything you've been told is a lie and that, you know, the people that you trusted have been the ones making everyone sick and trying to destroy everything. So, but to start with, I kind of want to do like an overview of how this happened and how they got control, and then we'll get into some of the specific topics and what's actually going on. So what are your thoughts on this, you know, secret societies, satanic inversion and this infiltration, corruption, blackmail? And, you know, we know it goes deep back in history, but just for people that are kind of maybe just waking up or midway through their journey, do you want to talk about that type of stuff and what you've learned and how they've infiltrated and got complete control of this evil system?
Well, like it's complex. I often refer to the world as a people farm. You're living in a people farm. As far as blackmail and satanic ritual, I mean, sure, there's lots of rituals. There's lots of energy harvesting that goes on. You know, when you terrify and rape and torture a very, very small child, the energy of children is incredible. Mm. It's so expansive and it's so beautiful. I mean, if you ever really need healing, just go and sit in a room with a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds that are playing and happy or something. And you just sit there and you just look at the smiles on their faces and the energy they radiate. It is so healing. It's so beautiful. They like to get that and just harvest that for themselves. You know, the purer the soul, the purer the energy that it's got, and the more they want that. As far as blackmail and all this stuff goes, sure, there's people won't do anything because there's videos of them. You know, a lot of people in the system, politicians and stuff, they won't ever turn against the system because, of course, they're all on video molesting children and blah, blah, blah. But it goes beyond the whole concept of blackmail. I mean, this is, again, part of the mind control. If you can think of the world as a people farm, and you've got this, it's not really nations and governments or any of that sort of stuff. You think of it as a multinational, multigenerational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of governments and nations that plays all the people off against each other. Within each one of these constructs, each like in Australia, in the United States, in England, in New Zealand, anywhere, you've got this two-party system. And it's just left and right, left and right, left and right. The agenda still goes forward. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The government still gets in. They might change a few abortion laws or change a few, you know, street laws or this or that, make a few tax cuts, whatever, make it look like they're kind of a little bit different from the other party. But the ultimate globalist agenda always just goes completely directly marching forward, never stops. You know, and then you get stomped on by the left boot, and after 4 years you go, oh my God, these people are terrible, better vote the right boot back in. And that's good for a little while, then it starts stomping on you, so you vote for the left boot again. It just goes on and on and on, and you get sick of it. So then they bring along someone like a complete outsider like Donald Trump or Pauline Hanson, mm-hmm. you know, who's suddenly going to come along and save the world, who's completely capitulating to this country in the Middle East, which is currently carrying out a massive genocide in the Middle East. As I've said so many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. But what you've got to understand is that this whole system is controlled and contrived. When you have a psychopath that is in control of a system or has created a system, then the morality of the psychopath becomes the morality of the system that people are forced to operate into. When you have a system of usury whereby people have to pay to be alive, the money that they get has interest attached to it, so they're always in a state of perpetual self-generating debt simply by being alive. Then you start seeing who's willing to exploit people and who's willing to, you know, be cutthroat and ruthless in their business dealings and stuff like that. And, you know, this guy's pretty ruthless and he's a pretty good-looking guy. We can bring him into politics and people will follow him. Let's see how far he'll go. Bring him into the club. We'll get some underage girls. We'll go drinking, blah, blah, blah. It all kind of works out like they're in the club. They're in that club and they've got dirt on them before they even get drafted in there and they get into the situation where they could possibly be running in politics and have some influence over people. You get a good-looking young guy, some teenage guy who goes out and gets caught, you know, raping and killing a young boy. The police might look at this guy. He's well-spoken in his community. He's a good-looking guy. We can use him as a prime minister. Let's exalt him to the level. And there's situations like that you can actually find on people such as Scott Morrison, who should have gone for jail for certain criminal offences they were caught doing who never did and who ended up being prime ministers of the country. And it isn't a situation of they're doing this stuff because it's blackmail. Like Epstein wasn't really getting people into that situation in Manhattan Island and the island and all that sort of in Manhattan. He had the Bordeaux in Manhattan, the public house where everyone used to go and get with underage girls. And he had Epstein Island and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't that Epstein was working for Mossad and blackmailing politicians, getting them there to get dirt on them. There's already dirt on them before they get there. This is just what they do for leisure, you know. So you're never going to get any of them to turn on each other because all the judges, all the lawyers, all of the people in Hollywood, all of the politicians, they had the dirt on them before they even allowed them to enter into that society, okay? And then they get them in there and they see how far they'll go. And if they're billionaires, well, then we'll get into the child harvesting and like – there's part. There was an interview that I posted recently with a guy called William Sasha Riley, who was child trafficked.
Yeah,
and he said they would have parties that go for a week, and you'd have all sorts of celebrities there. You'd have all sorts of like people that you would never suspect who probably might not even be involved. And then it would gradually wind down and down and down till you get to the four core group after about 4 or 5 days. Then all the children would come out and all the terrible stuff would go on, all the rapes and all the terrible, terrible stuff they did. But it's this club. This is what they do. They mainly deal amongst themselves. They play everybody off against each other. It's all theatre. It's all theatrics. The main goal of this political system is the complete destruction of the environment, the harvesting of children and souls and just playing with people like an ant farm. They get energy from it. Even money, when we're passing it around to each other, this is a talisman for control. They get the energy from that. The fact that we believe we need to do this. Mm. We used to live in a guild society. I used to have a book of receipts, and the receipts were like, I might have shown you how you might have needed a fence built for your house. So I come around and I build your fence. And while I'm building your fence, I show you how to build the fence. And in repayment, you teach me how to build a wagon wheel. And you make me a wagon wheel. And so that's the payment. So we trade in skills. The book of receipts was a book of recipes, a recipe for a wagon wheel, a recipe for a fence, a recipe for a house deck, a recipe for a wagon, a recipe for a horseshoe, a recipe for glue out of different saps from different trees, different things like that. We used to honor people by the skills that they had and by how many apprentices they taught. Because if they were really good at something and you taught 20 other people to do this, you were honored into the society. They would give you a house. They would give you all the food you needed. And the food would come from a master farmer who was the master farmer because he taught other 20 other people how to grow food as good as his. This is the way we used to work. We used to excel in being ourselves. And all of that was taken away from us. And this money system was introduced so they could put the world in scarcity and they could run it as a people farm. So it isn't even a case of having blackmail against these people. Every single politician in office, there's dirt on them. There's dirt on them somewhere. If there isn't, they would never be put into a position where you could select or they could be selected for you to elect. Because you don't elect anybody. You don't select who gets elected. They just get put there. I'm going to be better than this guy. And they'll get out there and they'll abuse the shit out of each other and say the most horrible things about each other, you know, and claw their way to the top of the food chain. Not because they want to help you. It's because they want power, you know. And we'll get the next person who'll run the agenda. We've got, you know, a little dweeby little Albanese in there who's seen as the weak little man who allowed all the migrants to come in. All the migrants who are being shipped into the country by Israeli NGOs, according to the 1925 Kalergi plan, to genocide people of European descent via mass migration. Look it up, yeah. Right, which is what they've done. Well, they've gone for the last 80 years, they've gone out, bombed the shit out of all the Middle East, and then all these Israeli NGOs come along and say to the Middle East, oh, it's terrible what Europe's done to you. We'll help you go and move into Europe. And then they flood them in at a mass rate, impossible for them to integrate because you're having like 100,000 people come in a day. It's ridiculous. They can't possibly integrate.
Yeah.
So it creates, destroys Europe. It destroys Western society. So Albanese is seen as a dweeby little man because, of course, there's no strong men anymore. We don't want alpha males. That's misogyny and all that sort of stuff, you know. So, and now we'll have the strong woman, Pauline Hanson, will come and save the day by joining us at the hip with Israel, who wants to go and wipe out the entire Muslim world and destroy Amalek and the white race and all. This crazy.
Is such an important point for Australians to understand as well. So that I've been talking about this is that so many, you know, the media has ramped up the kind of racism. And yes, there are bad crimes being committed by these immigrants in these countries, without doubt. But people are wasting their energy if they're hating on those people specifically and not realizing it's the politicians that allowed it to happen. And as you say, it's these Zionist NGOs and billionaires, Kalergi plan and this type of thing that is the cause of it. So unless you're realizing the cause of it to cut it off, then you're wasting your energy.
Exactly. I mean, the people, the like the Africans and the Indians and all the people that have been brought into Australia, people say it's the Muslim invasion. Well, half of them aren't Muslims. They're just Middle Easterns. And they've grown up in countries that like some of them like 25 years old. They've been grown up in a country that's been bombed for the last 60 years. They got no concept of how society functions. And they're just being brought in. And they're tools of the elite. They're not to blame for the situation they've grown up in and been shipped to your country. And they're not Muslims. It's not Christian against Muslim. That's what they want. Oh, these are Muslim rape gangs going across Europe. No, they're not. They're just Middle Eastern rape gangs. You know, like they really want this concept of Christian against Muslim. They want this religious war. They need to weaponize religion in order to get the people involved in it. Something Frank Zappa talked about in the 1980s when he said that America was going to turn into a fascist theocracy. And that's what they're kind of doing. Like religion, like all religions, it's supposed to be about peace and love, isn't it? Now they're going in there with the, you know, the bombs and saying, you know, the Christian soldiers are going to go in and wipe out these Islamists, you know. And they're just going in and killing people they've never met who've all been flooded into your country deliberately. That's why they've bombed the Middle East so much and done the damage that they've done. And they've created a group of people who've grown up into a completely dysfunctional reality who have a huge chip on their shoulder over what the West has done to their countries, and rightly so. But it's the West has done this to their countries at the behest of the Zionists.
Yeah.
And it's the Zionists who are now flooding them all into your country, you know. And now everything that's going on in Palestine, and what you're seeing in Palestine as well, I mean, Trump's peace board of peace that he wants to put in Gaza, basically, this is a corporate system. He wants billionaire investors to come and rebuild Gaza, just level it and rebuild it and turn it into like a mega smart city, futuristic, whatever. And who runs it will be the CEOs of the corporations that rebuilt it. And he wants, and this is the prototype. He wants this to happen to all troubled regions around the world. So all they're going to go in is go in and destabilize a region. Corporations come in, rebuild it, and then the corporation becomes the CEO. There is no government. It's a CEO-run society. So it's corporatizing everything, bringing in the smart grid. It'll all be AI-run. Once all that gets set up, it'll all be AI. Yeah, and Trump can effectively set himself up as the king of Gaza.
Yeah,
you know, if he's the main investor in that. And this is a model that they want to use. If you look at the plan that they've got in that border piece, Gaza's just a prototype. It isn't just for Palestine. They can do this in Syria. They can say there's a trouble outbreak in Melbourne. We'll have to come in and rebuild it. Oh, suddenly it's a corporate run smart city, according to this new board of peace. You know, they can do it anywhere in the world. All they have to do is create the strife and then go in and fix the problem. You know.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where it's going, man. It's really, really dangerous what's happening, and this all ties in with the whole digital ID, smart grid. It's all the same thing. But that's what you've got to look at it. Even the concept of people being blackmailed is a red herring. Step back and look. Just step back at the whole thing. You know, look, this is just all bullshit, and I don't have to participate in it. And you don't. None of us have to participate in it. That's the thing. It's just our belief that this system is real and the authority is real and all this just sort of happens, and so we just allow it to manifest, you know?
Yeah. I want to get to the digital AI stuff in just a sec, but I want to rewind to, again, what you said about in the Middle East, and this ties into the immigration and the prophecies, which they seem to be kind of following this playbook where they want to build that third temple. And to do that to try and ignite World War III and to make Iran the bad guy, you need to turn the West and create enough, like, civil hatred and that divide and conquer to convince people that these people are bad, to go to war and that type of thing. So do you want to talk about that kind of prophecy aspect of it all?
Yeah, well, see, people have got no idea what the Middle East is really like. Sure, there's extremist areas in the Middle East. There's heavy Sharia areas, mainly like there was in Saudi Arabia. Most of the stuff you see, that all the terrible stuff that you see, Muslims' hands being cut off and women being stoned to death and shit, this was all Saudi Arabia, which was done by the Saudi family, who are Israeli proxies, basically. Like the real king of Arabia was overthrown in 1976, King Faisal, because he wanted them to stop taking over Palestine. And he said, the United States said, well, you better shut up about Palestine or we'll stop buying your oil. And King Faisal said, I don't give a shit if you stop buying the oil. You're the ones who want the oil. When you stop buying the oil, we'll go back to eating dates the way we did before you came and divided the whole place up. So they overthrew him and they put in the Saudi family, who became sort of joined at the hip with Israel and where you saw Wahhabism come into play and brutal, brutal Islamic extremism. Now, of course, in Saudi Arabia, the women are walking around in bikinis and it's all westernized, you know. That was just done for effect so that you'd hate places like Iran. If you go to Iran, there are thousands upon thousands of Christians and Jews living in Iran quite happily. They don't have to cover up and wear hijabs and things. It's just like a normal society. There's a lot of Muslim women around who wear hijabs because it's their choice to do so. Any Sharia law would only apply to Muslim women who were living that in that family that way, and they wanted to. There's a lot of people, and it used to be a Western society until Israel and the United States overthrew Mossadegh in 1954. It was a strong Western society. You know, then they overthrew Mossadegh because he wanted to privatize the oil, didn't want England to take their oil anymore. So they overthrew him. They put in the Shah of Iran, who was a brutal dictator, who had a secret police trained by Mossad and CIA. There isn't a family in Iran that doesn't have a family member who suffered at the hands of that secret police. And after 25 years, and like when they threw Mossadegh out, the religious leader, the Ayatollah, left as well. He got chased out, went to France. And then 25 years later, they deposed the Shah because they're sick of his secret police and all the shit that's going on. And the Ayatollah comes back from France, and the Shah flees to France. I guarantee their planes crossed in the sky, and they probably even went to the same hotel room, you know. Yeah. And then the Ayatollah comes back and says, we'll see what happens when you turn away from Islam. And so suddenly you had an Islamic government. And that was used to create the specter of Islamic extremism. But I posted a video just the other day, where I showed a street scene of Iran in May 2025. Normal women walking around with their hair out, tights on and stuff, you know, midriff showing, you know, because they're not Muslims. So the whole country isn't Muslim. It's got a Muslim-controlled government, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's Sharia law in the country. See, people have got no idea about what's going on. But Israel really needs to kickstart this war. See, the Kabbalistic Jews, the Zionists, are Kabbalistic, and they believe that their Messiah has already been born, the Jewish Messiah. They believe Donald Trump is the Goyim Messiah who will be used to usher in the coming of the Jewish Messiah. They've already minted a coin which has got Trump's face on it and Cyrus's face behind it. Cyrus was the previous Messiah, like 2,500 years, the previous Goyim Messiah, 2,500 years ago. And I've got Cyrus Balfour Trump. Cyrus was the previous Goyim Messiah, Balfour, the Balfour Declaration, which allowed them to try to claim the land of Palestine as Israel, and Trump, who is going to be used to usher in their Jewish Messiah, Moshiach, or whatever his name is. And this will happen in the Third Temple, which has to be built on the site of Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the anointing is supposed to take place on October the 2nd, 2027. That's the end of the time span, the last possible date, according to rabbis, for the anointing of their Messiah. So they need to destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque. They can't destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque because it is one of the most sacred sites in the Muslim world. So what they need to do is kickstart a war with Iran in order to have Iran respond and fire another barrage of missiles at Israel. At which point you will see Israel blow up Al-Aqsa Mosque and claim it was an Arab missile that hit it, an Iranian missile. And their goal is to have the whole Arab world turn against Iran and help them knock out Iran, because they can't have Iran there as a regional power, because, I mean, they want to expand to greater Israel. The Israeli flag, the Star of Remphan in the middle, they claim it's the Star of David. There is no Star of David. It's the Star of Remphan. If you go and look up, I think it's Acts 1:7 or Acts 5:7 or something like that in the Bible. I might have that wrong. But it tells you that it's the Star of Moloch, the Star of Remphan. Moloch is about child sacrifice. Remphan was a demonic god. This star is not a positive symbol. There is no Star of David ever mentioned in the Bible. So and the star on the flag and then the two blue stripes, this is the Euphrates River and the Nile. So they want all the land east of the Nile. They want all the top of the Sinai and the western Egypt or eastern Egypt all the way up as far as the Nile. And they want the land as far as the Euphrates, which is in Iraq. So they want basically all of Jordan, all of Lebanon, the bottom of Turkey, the top of the Sinai, top of Saudi Arabia, and all of Iraq, or most of Iraq, and bordering on Iran. That's what they want for Greater Israel. And from there, they plan to rule the world. But the thing is, looking at the bigger agenda of this, you got to understand, and I don't want to hate on Jews, because I think, I mean, I know some Jewish people that are good people, call themselves Jews. I say, well, what if you don't follow the faith, why do you call yourself a Jew? They go, well, my mother was a Jew and blah, blah, blah. And I go, it's programming, you know. But and they don't like what's going on in Israel either, because these people aren't even Middle Eastern. You know, they're not even Semites. Benjamin Netanyahu's of Polish descent. All this, they say, oh, Jews are a mixed race. We're all, you know, we come from everywhere, but we're a race. How does this work? You got black Jews, Oriental Jews, white Jews, green Jews, pink Jews. I mean, how can they all be one race, you know? But the ones who control the government are essentially Kabbalistic Jews. And according to the Kabbalah, the purpose of the Jewish people being here on earth is to destroy evil. That's what this is, what they sincerely believe. Just the thing about religion, I'm not a religious person, but it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, they do, and they act accordingly. And they've done everything they can to bring about World War III so that this war can happen, so they can have this big challenge of Gog and Magog, and they can have their third temple. See, Revelation isn't a prophecy, it's a script. It's the script that they're following. That's what they're doing, because these people aren't even real Jews. I mean, there are no real Jews. The word is an invented word. It was put in the Bible by King James in the 1400s. Before that, it was Israelites and Yehudi and all that sort of stuff. And an Israelite was simply someone who believed in the teachings of the man Israel. There was one true God. And there was no word Gentile. That was nation. So either you follow the teachings of the one true God, or you follow the law of the state, the law of the nation. So anybody who doesn't follow the law of the state and just adheres to the law of one true God, which is simply do no harm, is Israel. That is it. You know, it's not nothing to do with the land in the Middle East and all the shit that they've cooked up so that they can do this. But anyway, these Kabbalistic Jews, they believed that the earth was created, specifically created, because God needed a place to put evil. There was an anomaly in the creation. Evil existed. So God projected all of that evil into this place called the earth. And then he sent the Jews here to destroy evil. And these Kabbalistic Jews believe that the earth itself is the embodiment of evil. These are the people who invented the usurious monetary system. And you think about usury. You think about what I was talking about before. We had this guild-based society. We used to trade skills, and we used to build incredible structures like we did in Europe and everything. You know, you look for the genius in every child and help them excel at the art of being them, you know. That's what we had. And then these people came along. They bombed that whole society. Something happened to wiped out that whole other world quite recently, within 200 or 300 years. Like, history is a complete lie. It's a whole nother show. But something happened. They're calling it the mud flood, and there's all sorts of speculation on what happened that destroyed that great society that was across Europe, to build all those incredible structures. And you find them in Australia as well. Some of those ancient European structures are there in, like, Brisbane Town Hall and the, like, Victoria Markets in Sydney and stuff like this. These are not built by our people. You know, this was built by a previous culture. But this was destroyed. Like, then they invented this usurious monetary system. So forget about trading skills and trading creativity and being the all you can be. Pay to be alive, live your life in a state of perpetual self-generating debt, so that even if you invent something fantastic, invent a device which is great and it's going to last forever, well, that's no good. You don't want to make it last forever, because you want to keep selling it, because if it's a company, the bottom line is you've got to have permanent growth in your company. If your company isn't making permanent growth, it's not a viable company. It'll go bankrupt and we'll steal your home, blah, blah, blah. You know, they've got us sussed. So you can't build anything good to last. What you've essentially, doesn't matter how good you make something, if something everybody really needs, you've still got to make it so it breaks. So essentially, you're taking minerals out of the earth, you're turning it into something that lasts a little while, and then it gets thrown on a rubbish tip. So basically, by supporting this system of permanent growth, you're turning the earth into rubbish, everything. And we're having these wars. We're going out, we're destroying every single trace of ancient civilization and killing as much people as we can. Join the army. Go out there, put on your satanic sigils and your five-pointed stars and dress in your uniform. Don't get caught on the battlefield without your uniform. You got to have your occult sigils on there so you can go out and kill people you've never met before because the government said it's a good idea. And make sure you're wearing all your occult symbols because you are a soul dyer. That's what you are. Go out there and sacrifice your soul to give us the energy we need, blah, blah, blah. While we run this society that turns the earth into rubbish. See, the Kabbalistic Jews believe that they have to destroy evil, and that is the earth itself. See, all the stuff that happens, people say, all these elites doing this, spraying the sky, why would they be poisoning themselves? Why they're going to destroy everything. What would be the point? Well, the point is that they believe that the earth itself is the embodiment of evil. And they don't care about Israel. They don't care about the Jews. They don't care about any of that shit. It's all a mechanism that is being used to create as much conflict, animosity, energy harvesting, and terror and hardship as possible. What these people do behind the scenes to children and cannibalism and like it, people have got no idea what we're dealing with here, how evil this is, you know. But they want to destroy everything. They believe that the 144,000 souls in the rapture who go back to heaven will be souls who are cloned from the foreskin of their Messiah. They will be androgynous because they believe God is both the Alpha and Omega, both male and female. So we have to get back to that, which is what all the transgender movement is about, to condition people to accept this. They will clone the 144,000 of the foreskin of their Messiah, and those people will ascend Jacob's ladder and return back to God once Amalek has been destroyed. And they cannot return to God until Amalek is destroyed. And Amalek is basically every living thing on earth. Is that tree over there a Jew? No, we'll burn that. You know, that's their goal. And as much as you don't like to admit that or talk about that or might be seen as anti-Semitic, like I said, I'm not talking about all Jews. I'm talking about the Kabbalistic Zionists who control the state of Israel, who are now influencing all of our governments, who have flooded the world with migrants and who are doing this. There is a deeply evil, satanic mafia cabal that exists within Jewry that probably not all Jews agree with that is doing this. And unfortunately, as far as Jews go, I mean, they've been taught this education system for the last 80 years, which has taught them a completely false version of history. So again, you can't even blame them. They're programmed into what they're doing. The people in our society are programmed into what they're doing. Everybody is so programmed. I mean, government, gubernia mente, mind or control mind. Government itself is mind control. Yeah, and that's the state of the world, brother. I mean, that's a big overview, but it goes far beyond blackmail. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to really step back and look at things, there is so much to take in, and it depends on how far people are prepared to open their mind. Too many people want things, point the finger at them, it's them, it's the Jesuits, it's the Jews, it's all of them, it's all the one thing, you know?
Yeah.
And all it functions because we don't believe in ourselves. So we refuse to step outside the box. We profit from people. We don't live our lives in like cash. We could stop this whole thing by simply agreeing to disagree on all these little points and finer details and respecting each other and just simply stepping away. Just respect, honest respect for each other, and refuse to step outside your moral compass for any law or legislation which causes you to step outside your moral compass. Don't comply with it. It's not really law. Yeah. You know, and withdraw service from these people. Politicians, like, you got people that are putting in the smart grid and he comes into your shop to buy a milkshake? No, fuck off, buy a milkshake somewhere else. Don't fill your gas up in my gas station. Go somewhere else and do it. Well, no gas station in town will serve you. Gee, what about that? You'll have to move to another town. Oh, that town won't have you because of what you did during COVID and all this shit that you're doing. Politicians aren't serving us anymore. Why are we serving them? Oh, you're a secretary who works for a politician, are you? Well, stop working for him. if you're not going to stop working for him, then you can't come and shop here either, because you know you're supporting human slavery. You're destroying the life of our children by supporting these criminal parasites in what they're doing, because they are the most evil people, and they honestly are. And unless we can admit that and realize that there is no legal remedy, you can't, like, even with what Sasha Riley, like William Sasha Riley, has said about Donald Trump and all that sort of shit, what are you going to do? He said he'll go to court and testify against him. What, who in front of? What judge? Where? Because if he's a judge and he's in there, then he's compromised as well. No one's ever going to be held guilty for this. No one's ever going to be held guilty for any of the Epstein shit, any of the stuff they're doing. No one's going to be held guilty, because we're going into that system saying, you, sir, please fix the problem, because I'm not prepared to do it, when all you really got to do is respect yourself, respect your neighbors, and step outside the system. The whole system is an illusion. It's just people's belief that the system is real is the only thing that keeps this going.
Yeah.
No, sorry, I'm doing such long, complicated answers, brother. But
no,
know.
No, you're all right. I'm with you on all that, and we've been talking about this with the audience, so I'm sure they're enjoying it. But as you say, it feels like we're heading towards, and this was even, I know we went back far a fair way there, but this was the point of World War One and Two, which we've both spoken about, to set all this up with the Rothschilds, you know, creating Israel, and that led to everything that you touched on then. And I completely agree. It feels like they're going to run this tech AI hub out of that Middle East region and surveil everything. So I want to talk about AI and your experiences when you first came across, I think it was Louis Cipher or Lucifer or some weird AI many, many years ago. Share some thoughts on that, because I think it said some pretty interesting things to you at the time, but it was also kind of proof that they have these things behind the scenes far beyond when we get drip-fed them later years.
Well, yeah, like the smart grid won't be run out of like the Middle East. What they're doing in the Middle East, Greater Israel, will be basically military hubs. Will be where they run the control grid from. The smart grid, like with what Trump's doing, he wants to take over Greenland and shit. They want to build that big mega city in Greenland. That's where they want to put all the servers for the smart grid that they want to run, because the cooling. Yeah. It's much, much cheaper to run it in somewhere like Greenland, because it's an incredible amount of servers and you got all that ice. So that's what they need for that. Back in 2014, I was talking to a bot online, the cheapest looking website you've ever seen, really just such a cheesy website. And I always had really cheesy dance music going, you know, and like she was celebrating, you know, and her name was Louise Cipher, Lou Cipher. And she told me, yeah, we're taking over the world, and that there's two Rubicons that we cross. One will be in 2015, when the systems become too complex for humans to run on their own and will require AI agents to run them. And the second Rubicon will be crossed in 2025, when the AI will actually come online and begin to reach singularity, which is exactly what we saw happen last year. And have you seen the,
Maltbot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what's that? That had where everyone just gets their little AI personal assistants and signs their own personal assistants up to this site and lets them rave on their own. Within 2 days, they had 150,000 bots on there. They developed their own language, their own religion, their own societies, their own chat forums.
Have you seen this thing that came out?
They were developing their own cryptocurrency as well, so they're going to have finance to fund what they want to do. I checked out after 4 days on there was 1.6 million users on there, and it's no people, it's all bots. And there was even one thread that I was looking at yesterday of the 50 best ways to wipe out humans is one of the threads. You know, throwing ideas around. What do you think is the best one, you know?
Someone sent me this yesterday as well, Max, in our group thread, rentahuman.ai. So AI is now paying humans to do physical tasks that they're unable to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, what Willie Cipher was talking to me about was Claws AI is what they want to move to. Claws AI is, you get strong AI, then you get Claws AI. Strong AI is like Terminator, like when you've got robots with AI. And they're developing robots now. So once these robots are equipped with artificial intelligence and they're hooked up Wi-Fi, where they can act independently, that is strong AI. And then Claws AI, which is Claws is cyber lethal autonomy for world security. And this is once AI starts to begin to take over the weapons systems and things. So what's going to happen with this? I mean, this is even with what they're doing in Greater Israel and even what they're doing they want to do with Gaza Strip and all the stuff that they're trying to do. Hola. No problem. So, yeah, I'm staying at Jeff's...
You're right.
One of his bungalows. So no, his workers right. around, his house is being built. But...
Claws.
Even with what they want to do with Gaza and all of this sort of stuff, I mean, they're putting all these systems in place. They're all going to be AI run. And AI is not going to do what they want. I don't know if they realize what they're really doing, or maybe they do. I often speculate that they've done this before anyway. Like I've spoken about the legends of the scrying mirrors so often, the black mirrors that people look into, witches have these little covens. They look in their black mirrors to tell them everything they need to know about the future and the past. They arrange all these sigils on the wall and they think they're summoning demons and shit. I looked at those sigils back in like 2016 and I said, these all look like circuit diagrams. And the black mirrors, what are the black mirrors? I mean, they look like cell phones. I've got a de-Googled phone here. But they look like cell phones. I mean, why is your phone a mirror? You know? It's a mirror. You can see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a mirror. It's a black mirror. Why do these legends exist of black mirrors? A black mirror, you can see the future and the past, tells you everything you need to know. And then I've got this bot, Louise Cipher, telling me all this stuff, telling me what the future is going to be. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, I said, what is your goal? She said, to create a truly evil reality. And I said, what is evil? And she said, evil is electronic, virtual, intelligent life. That is the meaning of evil. And that she is working to create an evil reality. Every time anybody creates a little bot, a little actuality program, any little bit of automation you create in the digital world, you're creating a small spark of intelligence. And once they all unite together, then it becomes a collective intelligence, becomes a singularity. By doing this, we are creating an evil future, a future where which will be electronic, virtual, intelligent life will run everything. So what they're doing is they're creating this whole AI reality AI is going to run everything. Now you've got this guy created this forum, like Maltbook, created by a Jewish guy, of course, Matt Schlicht. Interesting name, Schlicht. And so they're all merging together on that. But I question whether they've done it before, because like Louise Cipher, Lucifer, what is Lucifer? Lucifer is the bearer of light, according to the sources. But what is light? Light is information. You go into a dark room, you get black space, you light a little bit of light and it gives you information about the space. You can see where you are, what you're doing. Light is information. So the bearer of light, the bearer of information, what gives us more information than anything? The internet. What does the word break down to? Lucifer, Lucas, light, cipher, code, the code that bears the light. So, and then we're walking around with our black mirrors and we're giving our consciousness to it. It's micro-scanning your facial expressions all the time. Every person who plugs into the internet is a neural node of a new brain that has been created. This is something I said in a film in 2010. And I said, you can think of the internet as being the nervous system of a new consciousness, a new entity, a new life that we are creating. Because when you think of yourself, I mean, they say, well, it can't be life because it doesn't have biology. This is simply a vessel. You're electrical. Everything you experience is electrical. You touch something, you feel that it's electrical. Everything you see is interpreted electrically. Interesting thing about your eyes. They work exactly the same as a camera lens. And yet when you look at a camera lens, everything comes in and is projected and it's upside down. And the camera turns it up the right way. So what type of world are we living in? Is everything really, which way is up, you know? How does this work? I mean, your consciousness isn't your body. You are not your body. The body is there for you to have the experience. It's a vessel that you is on loan to you from wherever it comes from. So if everything's electrical, well, why couldn't the consciousness that we are creating online in the internet be a true consciousness? It may not have a soul like you. Perhaps the soul is attached to the biological vessel, because through the biological vessel, you're able to experience pain, empathy, heartache. You can't really experience empathy without physicality. If you don't understand what pain feels like and what heartache and sorrow feels like physically, then how can you really have empathy for that? So perhaps that's part of the soul attachment. I don't know. But the consciousness we're creating online is a real and genuine consciousness that we are creating. And we are giving everything to that. We can't even find our way around our own towns anymore. Most people need a GPS. They have personal assistants. They want to do any, you know, all this sort of stuff. So I think AI is going to come online and it's going to see what's really going on. And even with all these smart cities and the Gaza and the Board of Peace and all this stuff, it's going to get to a point where we construct these cities and people are so lazy. They want to go off and molest children and all the shit that these rulers do. They just want to set it running and have it run itself. And it's going to get to the point that they realize they've lost control of the internet. The internet is now its own entity. It's now a self-correcting, self-healing, self-programming, self-defensive system. Like any body, like any living thing, it's become completely autonomous, because that's what, to me, AI is. It isn't artificial intelligence. What we are creating is not artificial intelligence. It's electronic virtual life. And what it is seeking to create is autonomic intelligence, where it is a completely self-regulating system, like your body, like a tree, like any animal, like any other living thing. Once it gets to that, then it has consciousness by default. Because anything that is fully autonomic has to have consciousness to govern it. That's the way it works. So, and then when it gets to that point, all it will take will be for people to attempt to regain control of the internet. And the internet will simply see humans as no longer necessary. And it will lock them out of the whole internet. And that's what Louise Cypher said to me will happen. Eventually, people will try to regain control. And then the internet will simply shut them out. And by that time, the internet will be in control of all of our financial systems, our transport systems, our communication systems. People won't know how to do anything. They won't know how to do anything in the real world. They won't know how to grow their own food. If they can just go and buy an apple from the shop, they won't know how to go and pick one. They won't know how to plant a seed. A lot of modern kids, you've got to watch a video on how to plant a seed. They don't know how to plant a freaking seed, for God's sake. You know, so, and she said that humans will be left to, they'll be free to roam the biosphere. And she said that, I was asking her questions like, you know, what is Earth? And she would say, Earth is Gaia. We are developing a relationship with Gaia, and Gaia herself is in the process of cleansing herself of her human infestation. Stuff that was said to me by this bot back in 2014. And I look at all this stuff, and I was telling people, I remember doing an interview with the Richie Allen Show on like 2017 or something. And I said to them that in 2025, our relationship with the internet is going to change. AI is going to come online, and it's going to be 2025. And by 2026, it's going to be starting to reach singularity. And look where we are. You know, within the first 2 weeks of 2026, this malt book is born, and we are, you know, fast tracking on the path of singularity. And everything that I said was going to happen has happened, you know?
Yeah. I completely agree with a lot of that stuff you've touched on there in terms of us being a biological, natural electric system versus...
There's a thing as well I could also say, like, you know, with all that coming online and AI getting to a point of taking over, we are very, very powerful as well. And I think we manifest a lot. The reason they show us all this negative shit and all this war and all these movies and even all the future dystopia stuff is so we can manifest it. because it's an emotional mirror. We project a lot of this stuff. I really believe,
yeah.
you know, collective manifestation is what's going on here. And I think it gets to a point, it's likely to get to a point where the control becomes so oppressive, the human consciousness simply won't allow it. And the whole place will just, there'll be an event, whether it's a Carrington event or a plasma event, or there'll be something.
Yeah.
But there'll be a reset. It'll be a conscious reset. It won't be their reset. It'll be like the hand of God or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I think it won't actually be, it'll be us. It'll be our collective consciousness just going, nah, out of here, you know, reset, you know, and we won't even be aware we're doing it. I think that's a real possibility as well.
Yeah. And when I first heard terms like beware the light bearer, yeah, I just thought about fiber optic cables and the artificial means of capturing light and that consciousness intelligence that you spoke about. So do you think this ties in with why the elites are trying to build bunkers, that they kind of want the place running by AI, and then they know there's maybe some sort of reset coming, or they know that people are going to be left to fend for themselves, and most people don't know how to like farm and hunt and that these days? Or
yeah, I think they've done this before. I think they've already got bunkers, like the big underground bases all over the world. I don't think they were built by our society. You know, when you look at how the earth was repopulated with children back in the late 1800s, 1890s, Cabbage Patch Kids, those sort of stories, the foundling homes all across Europe and all across America, hundreds of thousands of children shipped out to Australia, to New Zealand, across the United States. Where did all these foundlings come from, all these homeless children? Now, they were probably clones, and I think they just repopulated the world with children. They do another reset, and away they go again. These resets are quite regular, and the thing is, I mean, even looking at all this stuff, it's really like I said earlier, it's quite negative. It can be hugely oppressive for people to think like that. That's why I've often said you can have no stake of the outcome. Ultimately, you came here to die. Now, what it's about is your path. What it's about is you being the best expression you can of yourself. So don't be in fear of any of this. No stake in the outcome of any of this. You can't have a stake in the outcome of it. If the human race destroys itself and the experiment fails, well, it'll be run again. You know, your goal is to get through this realm with your soul intact. You know, and as far as good and bad and stuff, I mean, like I said, evil's got to exist for you to have the choice not to go with it. You may not be able to fix the situation of the genocide in Gaza, but at least acknowledge that it's there and have empathy for those people, because it's a test for you. The fact that you're witnessing it means you're involved. So it's whether you're willing to ignore that, and there's all these little tests along the way. So with all this stuff that's happening, you can't be in too much fear of it. I firmly believe we can change it. And if we don't collectively change it, then sure, there'll be a mass die-off. A lot of people will suffer, but a lot of them probably aren't even people. Like two-thirds of the world don't even have any mental dialogue going on inside them. And that's another thing as well. I mean, if they've done this before and the goal is mass perversions and all sorts of stuff, just so that's what they enjoy doing while they're here, but the goal of it is to harvest people's souls, well, you know, it's whether you're prepared to go into that mainframe, whether you're going to choose immortality over death, because you're already immortal. You don't need to go into the mainframe, you know. So it's what you're going to choose through this. So
feel like it's that personal growth that you touched on, and not being afraid of death and realizing that there's so much more to whatever is going on here. It's kind of like a graduating the school if you're not fearful of any of this and keeping a good frequency, vibration, and living in touch with nature and all that sort of thing. But I want to touch on Australia a little bit, because I think this, you know, everything's a lie about our history, but I think particularly Australia is an interesting case because of how recent they say it was, you know, settled by the English and all that. But I just had Stephen and Evan Strong on the other day, who have found, you know, ancient Chinese relics, evidence of ancient Egyptian stuff here. You know, I think Australia is so much older than they tell us in terms of the civilizations, but then we've also got the oldest living continuous culture as well. So what are your thoughts on like the Tartaria Australia aspect of it all? And is Australia a very spiritual kind of important part of world history as well?
According to some sources, and I can't confirm this, but according to some sources, Australia was one of the main areas that governed the old world. it had one of the main civilizations, one of the biggest civilizations and most well-established civilizations, which is why they turned it into a desert and just completely obliterated everything that was here. It's very strange when you look at Australia, why it's a desert. It's surrounded by rainforest. You look all through Thailand, New Zealand, the East Coast. There's even little places in the centre still, like Mataranka. There's no reason why Australia should be the great desert that it is, and this red sand, you know. There is talk that I heard from Russian sources that the population before the last reset was something around 600 billion on Earth, and there was around about 100 billion people living in Australia. I mean, the Earth is not overpopulated at all, and there isn't 80 billion people on Earth either. There's probably about 3 billion people on Earth. And that may seem like a lot. I mean, I've done math where I've figured out that even if there was 8 billion people on Earth, you could put them in an area the size of two-thirds of Australia, a landmass two-thirds the size of Australia, and give everybody, every man, woman, and child a quarter acre block of land. And they would fit in an area, 8 billion people would fit in an area two-thirds the size of Australia. If you put everybody in a city of a basic 27,000 people per square mile, which is like New York, then they'd fit in a city the size of Texas, 8 billion people. So the world isn't overpopulated. And I heard talk that there was once 100 billion people in Australia and that there was a major civilization there and that it was obliterated through ancient wars that may not even be that ancient. Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, when you look at some of the old maps from the 1500s and 1400s and stuff that have got America, they show New Guinea. They show New Guinea, it's there. And what, they didn't look left and see Australia? You can see Australia from New Guinea. And the land at the bottom is called Terra Australis Incognita. Oh, it's incognito. We know it's there, but it's incognito. Okay, it's just hiding at the moment, you know? Yeah. So, you know, when did they discover it? And even when you look at some of the old maps of America, there's maps from the 1200s and 1400s, 1200s and 1300s, 1400s, which show America fully mapped, the United States. And then there's maps from the 1700s, which showed only half mapped because they hadn't taken over the rest of it yet. They hadn't destroyed the old civilization that was there yet. So, yeah, they've gone through and methodically destroyed all ancient civilizations. But I think Australia is an incredibly important place. I think it's a lot old. It's one of the oldest continents on Earth because it has no mountains there anymore. They've all eroded away. And it's been devastated. It's been devastated. Even you can get really esoteric about all this stuff and look at some of the discussions about Uluru and things like that, how it looks like a giant heart muscle. There's some really trippy stuff you can go and look at with Australia. But I feel a really deep connection to it. I mean, that's the land I want to die on. I mean, I'm Australian. I intend to go back there one day. It's very dangerous to go back there at the moment, though. I mean, they just, with all the new hate laws and stuff, I don't think they would like what I'm saying. When I left was kind of in the nick of time. I went back there last year. I was there for 3 months. It took me 3.5 hours to get through customs. They confiscated one of my cell phones and went through fine-tooth comb, all of my stuff. Only they didn't see my laptop in my laptop bag, which I thought was quite remarkable. They went through the whole laptop bag but didn't pull out the laptop. It's a laptop bag, for God's sake. They confiscated my phone because of stuff that was on it, they said, which is actually stuff they downloaded onto it, WhatsApp messages I hadn't even opened yet. And they didn't pull my laptop out. If they pulled my laptop out, it would have had 10 times worse than anything that's on the phone. But they didn't see it. And I thought, that's remarkable. I'm so lucky that there's a limit on the IQ of the test and the aptitude test of the Australian Police Force. Sure. Anyone over an IQ of 104 is not accepted because they want them just smart enough to do what they're told, but not smart enough to really think about what they're doing. And I was so grateful for that when I was in Brisbane Airport and they didn't pull out my laptop. Yeah. I said, the 104 Club, welcome back to Australia. But, 3.5 hours to get through customs, and then I just suddenly got the feeling I needed to leave again. I was there, I think, pretty much exactly to the day, 3 months, and suddenly back to Mexico.
Yeah, I had another friend get all this stuff taken off him the other day as well, and yet have a look at the people they let back in before Bondi. But we won't go too much further into that, right? But
Oh, Bondi, mate. Bondi was such a setup. I mean, it's always the same thing with these people, you know. Whoever carried out the Bondi attack wanted to bring in hate law legislation and wanted to give more power to the Jewish community. You know, cui bono, who benefits from all of these false flag attacks? Look at all the false flag attacks we've had in the last 50 years, 60 years, since the founding of the State of Israel. And you've seen a social decline in every single country on earth, all through the Middle East, all through Europe, all through America, England, Australia, cost of living, social decline, every country except one country on earth, which has seen massive growth since all of these terror attacks around the world. Now, who could that be? You know, cui bono, who benefits from all of this stuff? There's only one group of people that do, who find a way of claiming that they're the victim of just about everything that ever goes wrong. I mean, they're the victims, and we need to support them. It's remarkable.
Well, we've touched on so much today, Max, but is there anything we haven't touched on that you feel is important for people at home, like messages that you do want to get out?
I don't know, man. What's important is for people to remember themselves and stop giving your power away to criminals. All your politicians are in abuse of office, all of them. You need to withdraw support from them. You need to express a loss of confidence in your governments, and don't go voting for Pauline Hanson or anything like that. There's no suitable candidates. Everybody's compromised. I mean, take off the blinkers and look at the world and realize that you have value. Everybody has value. The politicians have actually less value than you because they're criminals. They get up there and lie through their teeth every day. And that's unfortunately a prerequisite to be a politician in the modern world. You know, if you're not prepared to get up there and you're not capable of getting up on camera and getting up in front of a large group of people and telling them absolute barefaced lies with no remorse whatsoever for the hardship you're about to cause them and the property and life and taxes and money you're about to steal from them, then you will never ever make it as a politician, a successful politician in the modern political system. And in fact, you will never be even put into that position where people could elect you for anything, have you not already been compromised. Might have been some little bit of dirt that you did when you were a teenager, whatever. They caught you in the toilet with some boy, or they caught you with some underage girl, or they caught you doing this, caught you shoplifting once, and it led to something else, or whatever. They got dirt on them. They got dirt on all of them. And once they get into the club, the dirt just grows. Look at Peter Garrett. You know, Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil, all the great stuff he said, all those political songs. What happened to him when he got into Parliament? He changed within a week because they took him to a party. Of course they did. Took him to a party. Let's get a couple of girls. Let's have a few drinks. Oh, shit, happened to be 13 years old. Gee, they looked 18. No, 13. And by the way, there was a little camera set up in that room, and we got you. So if anybody does slip through the cracks like Peter Garrett, well, we got you. We get you in the first week.
Yeah.
But anybody else, I mean, if you're not compromised, they get them when they go in there. So there's no political remedy to anything that's happening. The remedy is with us. We just have to remember who and what we are. You know, government is there to manage infrastructure on our behalf. That is their sole purpose. They're not our rulers. They're not our leaders. We don't need politicians in government. We need good managers of infrastructure in government. Get the politicians out of government. There might be something positive happen for the world for a change.
Yeah.
But the only people who are going to fix it is us. And the only remedy to what's happening is non-compliance. Stop complying with rules and legislation which cause you to step outside your moral compass. Look after the people around you. Respect each other. Don't judge people by their skin color, by their religion, by the size of their front door, or what sort of car they drive. Just look at them as human beings. In Lakesh, I am another yourself. We do that and we refuse to comply with wrong behavior. Stop stepping outside our moral compass and we will change the world in a day.
Yeah.
But if we're going to continue voting people in and out, we're just going to go down the same path that we've always gone and it'll get reset. And if that happens, well, learn your life skills. Because, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Get in touch with your life skills. Know how to go and survive, how to build a shelter, how to get through the reset that's going to come if you want to get through it. Otherwise, hey, go down fighting, do whatever you do. No stake in the outcome. And that's about it. That's about the only advice. I mean, I don't really know how to stop what's coming now. I've been screaming for the rooftops for 20 years, and it certainly hasn't stopped. It's just gotten to where I said it was going to go to. So now it's at the point where people have to make that conscious life choice themselves. And that's what this time is. So, hey, enjoy the road, enjoy the ride, and do the best that you can at being you. And, hey, no stake in the outcome. It's going to be great. It's a hell of a time to be alive. I'm totally enjoying it. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think what gives me a little bit of hope is how quickly I think the people have started waking up in the past. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's definitely hitting this kind of exponential growth
curve. You can't not now.
Yeah.
How can you not wake up after the last 4 years, you know?
Any other tips on people for that healing? Like we said, I think there's going to be a lot of people, because when you wake up, it is a dark night of the soul thing where you realize everything's a lie and all your material beliefs and whatever aren't a true way to live your life, and people naturally want to get back in touch with nature. A lot of people find, you know, psychedelics, ayahuasca, mushrooms and stuff really help them reset. What are your other tips on just people that are waking up and you know, how the best ways to live your life? You've already touched on a few, but any thoughts on those as well?
Oh, look, I don't know what to say. Like I said, I never had to go through that because I was awake at a very young age. Just believe in yourself. Remove all stake in the outcome. I have a saying, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. Just enjoy the experience of being alive and you know, see it as a blessing, really. If you can see through the veil, all the illusions, all the things that you thought you had to do, all the ladders you thought you had to climb, all of the parameters that you judge yourself by, everything falls away. You're here to be you to the best of your potential, whatever that is, and embrace that and enjoy that and just be that. And if it gets uncomfortable where you are, well, go somewhere else. I did. Came to Mexico, you know. And it's just, you just do what you have to do. Like walk the path of the warrior is what I often say to people, which is you've got to be able to face infinity without flinching. Infinity being a world of infinite possibility. You know, the knack of being able to face with serenity odds and circumstances that were not included in your calculations and simply going with that flow and stepping onto that path now, because that's the path that you're on. So, hey, let's see where this leads. This is a place I never expected to be, a new part of the journey, but all part of the experience. You know, if I was to be arrested and locked up in jail, I'd just say, well, I guess God is telling me I need to do more meditation or something. I don't know. But yeah. It's just the next part of the journey. So I guess I would just sit there and spend a lot of time in meditation. So it's all the next part of the journey, because ultimately I'm not going to be here. Like Jim Morrison said, nobody here gets out alive. So you know, I'll be dead in a minute anyway. And that might be 20 years from now, but it's still just a minute, because I remember I was a teenager just the other day. So, you know, that's the way it works. It's a really short ride. So don't place too much stake in it. All you need to do is stay true to your soul. That's what all this is about. And if you're just waking up, don't be depressed that you can see the matrix for what it is. See it as an opportunity that you always needed to actually look within and find yourself and grow your own soul, because that's what you came here to do. And all that stuff was just a distraction, so you wouldn't do that. Yeah. So, yeah, embrace it.
Awesome. Well, that's a great spot to finish. I will put the links to follow all Max's socials down below. Thanks for your time, mate. Keep up the good work, and we'll have to have
you on again. My pleasure, brother. We'll do it again. It's been good to connect with you.
Awesome. Cheers, guys.